إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, if you look at any community at any time, and especially if you look at us as Muslims today, we can say that there are two fundamental needs. One is the need for economic development, for economic well-being. And the second one is the need for influence, political power. All other things that come result in these two things. For example, education. I am not saying that education should only be utilitarian and that there should not be any education in the arts or philosophy and so on. But by and large, that is what happens with education, which is that education is utilitarian. At the end of the day, you like to say, as a result of this education, what job can I get? What business can I start? How can this education be turned into a source of funds? You know, some money stream has to start, and so on and so forth. So other things, if you take, are maintenance things. For example, healthcare is a result of you can get better healthcare if you are economically better off and so on. So all of these are results. But basically two things. One is economic well-being and the other one is influence, which is political power. Now if you look at the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, especially in the Makkan period, and then later on also in Medina, if you take the Muslims there, the Sahaba of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as a group, they also had the same two needs. There was a need for economic well-being and there was a need for influence. In both of these, they were very weak. There were a few Sahaba who were economically or in terms of wealth, they were well off. But otherwise, by and large, as a group, especially in Makkah, which was a major part of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Risala, they were people who were poor. And politically, of course, they had no power at all. In Makkah, there was zero. They were being persecuted and so on and so on. Yet we see that in the same generation, which is the generation of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, these same people became economically extremely powerful. They became the leaders of the community. And they became the rulers. I mean, so political power, they got absolute political power. There was no one, they were not competing with anyone anymore. I mean, they got to a point where they were the rulers. The head of state was a Muslim. The Khalifa was Muslim. So how did that happen? I have, in my study of the Seerah and the Sahaba, I find that there are two things that they did, two fundamental changes they brought about in their lives. One was the change in their priorities. Now, very interestingly, in terms of priorities, there is probably no discussion anywhere where the Sahaba met and said, what should we do to improve our economic state? This discussion never happened. I mean, that sounds very strange because that was a very major need. And in the end, it happened. But they never talked about that. There was never any meeting. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never called a meeting to say, you know what, we are very financially weak. What can we do? How can we make some money? I'm not saying make money for a bad reason. Make money for good reasons. But they never talked about that. Neither did they have any discussion in terms of how can we get political influence, how can we get political power. The reason I'm saying is that these two topics seem to be the basis of almost every single meeting and discussion we have today. And in my experience of living in Hyderabad since 2000, except for the most colossal waste of time, I've never seen anything useful come out of it. I've seen all kinds of meetings, all focused on this. How can we get political power? How can we get economic power? We are exactly the same. We haven't got one whit of political power more or economic power more as a result of all these meetings. The Sahaba never had these meetings. Yeah? But they needed the same things and they got the same things. So how did they get them? So as I said, two things. One is they changed their priority. The priority they changed was they moved their basis to one single point of reference, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said our life has to please Allah. Whatever else happens, if we have to lose our life in the process of pleasing Allah, that is okay. If we lose all our wealth in order to please Allah, that is okay. Now, if you look at it, it sounds completely crazy because you already don't have money. You already don't have wealth. You already don't have political power. And you are saying whatever I have, even that can go, provided it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu, who gave up his entire wealth, everything, to go to Medina to be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innama al-amalu binniyat. His hijrah was for the sake of Allah and His Rasul. And there are many such examples of people who gave, Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, gave up his wealth and his position in the home and whatnot. For what? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing they did was they changed their priority in life and said, our life must be only to please Allah. So if we reflect this back today, we should have meetings to say, what is it that we are doing which is displeasing Allah? What is it that we should do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla? We should have a meeting for this. You know, sounds crazy, no? We have never had, we talk about this in the masajid and so on, you know, we will have some maulana coming and making a bayan. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying your great, we have all these brainstorming sessions and God knows what sessions. All our so-called leaders sit together and eat biryani and talk nonsense. Instead of that, talk about this, which is to say, how can we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if somebody says, no, let us look at political power. You know, forget about all that. How can we please Allah? One point agenda. How can we please Allah? This is what the Sahaba did. They changed their priority and they said, how can we please Allah? And in that process, whatever we need to do, we will do. So they changed their schedules, they changed their work, they changed their behavior, they changed their manners, they changed their dealings with people. They stopped doing many things and they started doing many things. For example, praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Anyway, so the point I'm saying is that they said, how can we please Allah? Second thing which they did was, which is also very significant, which is that they changed their company. They changed the people with whom they used to spend time. Their friends. They changed their friends. Now that, these are the two, in all my study, I keep reading and thinking and so on. Because if we are saying that the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the life of the first generation of people, the Sahaba, if this is an example for us, then we need to study that. And we need to see how can we apply it today. Because otherwise, what's the point of example? An example is not for telling stories in bayans and, shedding some tears and so on. The story, it should be applied today. How do we apply it today? So these are the two things which I figured out, that one is changing the priority to this one single point agenda to say, how can I please Allah? And the second one is to change your company. Now this is a very important thing, because the problem with company, if you are in one kind of company, then disobeying Allah becomes easy. Obeying Allah becomes difficult. You will stand out as the odd person. Now either you have that kind of, courage of character to stand for whatever you stand for, which most people don't have. So they succumb. But if you have another kind of company, the exact opposite happens, which is that disobeying Allah becomes more difficult. Obeying Allah becomes a norm. Everyone is getting up for salah, so you can't be sitting there. You also get up. So changing company, changing the friend circle that they have. They started meeting different people. What was happening in Baitul Arqam in Makkah? Who was coming to Baitul Arqam? Only people who were obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who were the true followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the company changed. They stopped going to the places they used to go to. They stopped hanging out with people they used to hang out with. They stopped having those friends. They stopped doing those things. They stopped having those parties. Huh?
Habit change.
So total habit change, because you are now with different people. So you start looking different. You start talking differently. You change your habits. Your schedule changes. So these two things they did, which on the face of it you might say, well, you know, how does it help me to become economically powerful? How does it help me to become politically powerful? It helps you because all power and all strength comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. So when they did this, when they brought about this change in their lives, which is that they made their lives obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla, the single point agenda of saying, how can I please Allah? And then they gathered around themselves and they started being with people with the same focus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who caused Badr to happen, who caused various things to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused all kinds of political changes to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hudaybiyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Fatah Makkah. Everything. These are not planned. If you look at Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, if you read the Sirah, Badr and Uhud and all of these Khandaq and then the Sulah of Hudaybiyah and Fatah Makkah and Hunain, these were not part of a strategic five-year strategic plan. Was there a five-year strategic plan? Was there a 10-year strategic plan? Did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, we have to do this, after this, after this, and this is the plan, and let's look at what's the roadmap and what are the milestones? He didn't do any of that. I teach those things, so I'm not against them. We should plan. But I'm just saying that these are things, if you look in the seerah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought these about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of these. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Sulh Hudaybiyah to be written, where there was a 10-year peace agreement, and 2 years later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Makkah literally on a platter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about all these changes because now the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain proved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are ready for power and influence, we are ready for political power, we are ready to run this place as you want us to run this place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the reins of control in their hands. So they understood. So if you look at it from that point of view now and say, why is this one point agenda of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so important? Is because they understood who the place belongs to. Who is Malikul Mulk? So they said, there is no point in running around here trying to gain influence in this place and that place. Address the one who owns it. Because he gives. Tutil mulka man tasha, watanziul mulka mimman tasha. He gives. And he said, I give to who I want. So who does he want to give it to? The one who is capable of running it the way he wants it to be run. So that is the issue. The issue is, can we prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can do what He wants us to do? And that starts with ourselves, individually as a person. Bring the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make that supreme in your own personal life first. The problem with most of us is we want to change everybody else except ourselves. So that doesn't work. Change ourselves first, number one. Then change our immediate family, our own home. And then go further from there. Change our friend circle. Who do you meet? What frequency do you meet? What happens when you meet? When you meet, do you just talk all kinds of, I'm not saying nobody talk. We are not saying, Alhamdulillah, we are not people who sit and talk haram. We don't do that. We don't do ghibat and so on and so forth. But at the same time, we don't do anything useful either. So we can look at that. When we are meeting, our conversation, can it be something which is beneficial? People who are there, can we learn something, do something useful? So can we do that? Can we bring about those changes in ourselves? Because if we bring about those changes in ourselves, then inshallah al-Musta, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change our destiny for us, because that is in His hand. And that is what I want to remind myself and you. This is the lesson from the seerah and from the seerah of the Sahaba. Two priorities need to be changed. One is focus on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in every single aspect of life. Only one point. Does this please Allah? Every single aspect of life. Whatever it is. And the second one is, change your friends. Change the people that you meet. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.